Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Coming up this hour on the show, I want my baby Brock picks. Baby Brock walks away. And do we have his legacy totally mistaken? Also, your best audio of the day. And if you thought Mraz was a piggy Yankee fan, we've got audio of even a piggier Yankee fan from Game 3 in the Bronx. Wait till you hear this. And one Doug Marone, he of bologna sandwiches, seemingly taking a shot at his boss. That's coming up this hour on the show. Next hour, Rich Gannon, CBS Sports, will join us to talk a little NFL. Roger Goodell has a, how can I clean this up for family audiences, has a taste for a 17-game schedule. It's more like a hunger. It's more like he's dying of hunger and desperately needs the 17-game schedule. And he is going to any extent to figure out how they can do this. Now, on the one hand, you might be saying, ooh, DA, more football. Good. I say, wrong. Now, here's the good news. As the NFL prepares to go to battle with the NFLPA for a 17-game regular season schedule, the good news is that it would still start after Labor Day, that this would merely extend the NFL season deeper into February, not started earlier, which would be a mistake. Nobody's ready for the NFL before Labor Day. Nobody's ready for the NFL on Labor Day. Let the summer wrap up, and then we can start our football. Give us more football later in the winter when things are more depressing and miserable, and we need it. We need it. But Goodell says, at the conclusion of this fall owners meeting yesterday, that expanding the regular season is on the table for the offseason. It'll be part of the CBA talks. So here's how they're going to do it. 17 games, that's an odd number. 17 games, that means you play an uneven number of home and road games. That would be ridiculous. I mean, imagine, say, the Patriots one year being able to play more home games than road games versus the Buffalo Bills. Let's say in the AFC South, oh, you know what? The Texans get 9 home games, but the Colts don't. That would seem utterly ridiculous, right? Well, the solve here, the solution here, the fix here is everybody plays a neutral site game. Well, now we already have four or five London games, and then a Mexico City game. Okay, that's already a lot. So you might be saying, well, fine. So everybody gets to play it instead of just the 8 teams, the 10 teams. Do you realize that takes us from 5 or 6 neutral site games to 16. If every team has to play in a neutral site, where are you finding 16 neutral site games?
We're going to play 12 in London now? London's going to get what? More than half a home schedule? So we're going to say London's going to get more home games than Packers fans? Let's even say we give London 8 neutral site games. 8 games. So they now have a full home slate. So that's great. So London gets as many games as Packer fans and Chiefs fans and Steelers fans. Great. But then find the other 8. What? Go play in Germany? Paris? Where else are we going to play? Tokyo? We're going to go to China? 5 in Mexico? What are we going to do here? 2 in Canada? Think about how stupid that is. It's already stupid to play this many games in London. Now we're going to triple that. 16 of them. On top of this, you will have an expanded postseason where the NFL wants to add a playoff team to the AFC and a playoff team to the NFC. That way they can get an extra round or extra game in the playoffs on both sides. So 2 extra playoff games, which means only one team gets a bye. Well, think about how stacked the odds are then for the 1 seed to get through to a Super Bowl when the 2 seed would not have a bye. So let's just say it's this year in the AFC. The Patriots go 14-2, get a bye, and then the Chiefs or the Texans or the Ravens can go 13-3 and have to play first round of the weekend. I mean, now it really stacks the deck in favor of the 1 seed. Nobody else gets a bye. And why are we even screwing with the playoffs? Why are we screwing with the playoffs when it's already perfect? The way the current NFL playoff structure is perfect. In fact, I don't say this often, but the current NFL schedule is perfect. 16 games, 8 home, 8 away, 2 byes on each side of the conference. 4 other teams make the playoffs on each side of the conference. They funnel into the divisional round, AFC and NFC championship game, Super Bowl. The way it's set up is perfect. The only thing I hate is the stupid neutral site games and the preseason stinks. So you might ask, why, DA, are they doing this? Well, of course, there's only one reason, money. And what are they saying? They realize the preseason's terrible. They realize nobody's playing in the preseason anymore. They realize that the preseason is completely useless. And so getting rid of preseason games is not good enough because then that means, well, the owners can't make that money with you paying regular season prices to go see slop. So they see a check that comes in the preseason. And even though they know it's slop, they like that check, right? They really like that check. And so they say, okay, we want to get rid of the preseason, but we want to make up that check elsewhere. So here's the bit. A 17th regular season game, more neutral site checks, money comes in that way, and then an extra playoff game in the AFC and an extra playoff game in the NFC, and now suddenly you've made up that money and probably made more money doing so. Only the NFL could kill the golden goose. They're the only league that could do this, that could take something so perfect, so perfectly structured. They're the only league with a 16-team league conference, a 16-team other conference, split into 4 perfectly symmetrical 4-team divisions, which produce 4 division winners that fold into the playoffs. Only they could screw this up. Only they could take something that is just so well designed and say, you know what? Yeah, I don't know, 16-game regular season. Let's do 17. Hey, you know, I know that we're selling out games all across America. Let's take it to London. Hey, you know, I know that people don't really like the London games. Let's do 16 of them. Yeah, I know that the playoffs work really perfectly, but you know what? Let's add more playoff games. Yeah, I know people like the 2 byes, the 2 teams have byes. You know what? Let's take away one of those byes. only the NFL. And this is why I will never trust the commissioner that's currently in power or those 32 owners, because they are hell-bent on one thing and one thing only, that they make more money this year than last year, and whatever it takes. Yeah, you know what? It doesn't matter that we have 100 years of history. Who cares about tradition? Let's have Nike redesign our uniforms. That'll be cool, right? Yeah, you know what? Who cares? Even though we've only played football on Thursdays for Thanksgiving, let's play it every week now. Let's try that, huh? You know, even though the NFL is making money hand over fist, let's try to screw it up. Let's try. It's a terrible idea. The only thing that this benefits is that it gets rid of the stupid preseason and gives us more football to care about later in February, which some of you might say, you know what? Fine trade-off for me. But for me personally, it's not worth it. At no point am I at week 17 going, you know what? I need more regular season football. I wish there was one more week of this. By week 17, I'm like, all right, let's get to the playoffs here. Can we start playing games that really, really matter here? And at no point in the playoffs am I watching the Saturday 4:30 game on ESPN going, we need more teams in the playoffs. I have never watched the Texans Raiders on Wild Card Saturday going, I wish there was another team in the playoffs. At no point was I watching Bills Jags a couple of years ago, Saturday 4 o'clock, going, you know, we should really have the next team in too. Only the NFL could kill the golden goose. Only they could screw it up. They've got something so perfect. Ah, you know what? Let's tinker with this. Let's try to water it down. I mean, the games in London are a farce anyway. We know. They're kind of fake football. You just hope to get the win. That's all that really matters. Because at least they didn't screw up your season. But you're watching at 9:30 in the morning. On the West Coast, it's 6:30 in the morning. The footage is always just a little bit grainier and slipperier than your normal NFL game. You're seeing a bunch of Cowboys fans and Rams fans and Steelers and Packers fans in the stands. Meantime, it's Broncos against the Titans. You're like, I don't get why there's so many Tony Romo jerseys. Why are there so many Peyton Manning? Peyton Manning's been retired for like 5 years. Why is playing in a soccer stadium? Field doesn't look like an NFL field. We're all like, yeah, it's kind of a joke. It's kind of a farce. You never pick that game in Survivor. You're like, who kind of knows? Weird time difference. Who knows how you have to travel? I really would rather not play that guy in fantasy because he's in this London game. Oh, but you know what? Let's triple the amount of London games. That way, we can get our 17-game regular season schedule. Perfect. Only the NFL. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, is baby Brock Osweiler have a more important legacy than we actually realize right now? I'll explain what I mean coming up here next. And a shot across the bow from the huge one. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Join the mothership. You need to feel good and be doing well.
Only thing that I was happy about in Vegas was that I won the karaoke contest.
If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me. Let's fly away.
That's great!
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The huge one. 21 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, there's a brand new episode of Nomad that's available right now and has been very popular. Got a bunch of views already in the first 36 hours that it's been posted. It's my trek to Clemson for Death Valley And the big win, and I say big as in a wide margin, a blowout win by Clemson over Florida State. What a trip it was. What a experience it is inside that stadium to watch the 25 seconds, the most exciting 25 seconds in college football, them running down the hill, touching Howard's Rock, and the whole pomp and circumstance surrounding it. What a cool time, cool experience. So you can check that out as part of my travel series, Nomad, season number 4. It's the debut. Some more episodes coming your way. Make sure you subscribe by finding it on YouTube and clicking the subscribe button. Sunday, the NFL on CBS is at Lambeau with the Packers hosting the Raiders, plus a key AFC South clash between Houston and Indy. It all begins with the JB and the guys getting you ready for all of the action on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. Brock Osweiler steps away. It's a sad day when Brock Osweiler has to say goodbye to football. Oh, we'll miss thee. Baby Brock. Somehow Tom Brady entered the league in 2000. Tom Brady entered the league at Y2K. He's still playing. Baby Brock is already done. Already gonzo. In a league that is so quarterback starved, for Brock Osweiler to have to retire is not a great look. Not great. Now, I'm not here to tell anybody what to do with their bodies, their minds, their lives, but I think Osweiler would be playing if he could get a job, because apparently last year had some offers for some part-time work, if you will, and he wanted a season-long commitment. So essentially, Brock Osweiler is freelance right now. He's just working freelance. He's got some gigs. Every so often, he pulls up a game check, but he really wanted a full-time job. And in an NFL that is this thin at QB, you would think there would be a place for Brock Osweiler, but it just goes to show you how bad he is. He's not even 30 years old yet. And Osweiler's got to retire. Now, on the good side for Osweiler, he made a lot of money. He signed that big contract with the Houston Texans. And if Bill O'Brien had any, I mean any input into giving Osweiler that cash, that should be a permanent scar on Bill O'Brien's record. I mean, he should never live that down. I know he has cycled through and survived two different GMs already, but he was there. And if he said, yes, sign Osweiler to this deal, I mean, he should never be forgiven for that. Here's my favorite stat ever. You know, we talk about touchdown to interception ratios. You know, a good touchdown interception ratio is usually like 4-1. That's a really good touchdown interception ratio. In other words, if you have 16 touchdowns to 4 interceptions, really good TD to INT ratio. I'm going to give you a different ratio. 37-41. TA, what's that? Touchdowns to interceptions? Oh, no. That's touchdowns thrown by Osweiler in his career compared to millions of dollars earned. Brock Osweiler has earned $41 million and thrown 37 touchdowns. What?
You are a machine of death.
That's how perfectly under average, how unbelievably mediocre, how incredibly ineffective Brock Osweiler was. But I have two aspects that I'm going to prop up Baby Brock, with right now. Two little factoids. Number one, Brock Osweiler does own a Super Bowl championship ring. He's got one of those big, fat, gaudy baubles. He's got one of those big, clunky, monster rocks. Because he, remember, was on the team, the Denver Broncos, that won the Super Bowl in 2015, Super Bowl 50, and did go 5-2 in that season. As a starter, remember, Peyton Manning goes out his final season, Brock Osweiler went 5-2. And could Osweiler perhaps have, could he have won the Super Bowl as well with that dynamite defense? I mean, remember, that defense was killer. The defense was all over Cam Newton in the Super Bowl. Von Miller was the Super Bowl MVP. Let's just play a quick what if, Mraz. If Brock Osweiler has to start the rest of the way, or Gary Kubiak says, you're our guy, we're not going back to the legend Peyton Manning, do the Broncos still win the Super Bowl?
Yes, they do.
Definite, not even a
definite
doubt.
Definite. And Brock Osweiler got paid anyway. He was great that year.
I don't know about great.
Kubiak was pushing all the right buttons with him. Peyton Manning, frankly, me and you talked about it for the show, pretty good in the first quarters of a lot of those games, but Peyton Manning wasn't Peyton Manning.
Well, he was, no, he
was
not.
He was a game manager.
He was not Peyton Manning, but you have to remember, early in those playoff games, the first half, and even in the Super Bowl, hit a couple of big plays, big throws. I don't know if
Osweiler's hitting those throws. Osweiler was playing.
I mean, that's Peyton Manning.
We're talking about Brock Osweiler that year. That wasn't Peyton Manning, though.
I know, but still, when he had the strength, maybe shooting up that shoulder, that elbow, or whatever, for just a couple of quarters, there's a couple of those first quarter throws, remember, that, you know,
sure.
Dimes.
Look, history will remember Peyton Manning as a two-time Super Bowl champion. I will remember Peyton Manning with the Broncos that last Super Bowl as Trent Dilfer. Sorry, that Bronco defense was unbelievable, and Brock Osweiler absolutely does the same sort of game managing, makes the same couple big throws, and wins a Super Bowl as a starter, and oh, by the way, is probably not retiring today if he does.
Okay, so you think Osweiler's trajectory of his career is different if he's a Super Bowl champ?
Correct. Now,
As a starter.
Well, I still think he ends up, ultimately, a fraud is a fraud, and a guy who stinks is stinks.
Okay.
The Texans will still pay him, I'm assuming. Maybe you have to pay him a little more, and he'll go there, and he'll probably stink, but maybe they have a little longer leash with him because he is a Super Bowl champion quarterback.
Let me ask you this. If it's Brock Osweiler holding up the Vince Lombardi trophy for the Denver Broncos, no matter what the Texans offer, do the Broncos have to then match it? Does he have to be
good
a Bronco?
Good point, because Peyton Manning was retiring anyway.
I mean, basically Elway said,
oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, we're not matching that offer.
You know what? Elway's so stubborn, I would say that maybe not, because, again, they did dump Tim Tebow, who did win a playoff game for him. And, now, you know, I don't want to go down the whole lightning rod of Tim Tebow, but he was coming off a playoff win. And I know it was for Peyton Manning, but Elway didn't exactly show loyalty there. So
if Elway thought you stunk, he probably is not bringing you back.
Although everybody he thinks is good stinks anyway, so who knows how
to read
Elway.
If Osweiler makes throws in the playoffs and you actually win a Super Bowl with him, maybe
then you have trust more.
Yeah.
But look, bottom line is this. Osweiler should have been a Super Bowl winning quarterback as a starter. That was his job, not Peyton's job.
He should have been the modern day Trent Dilfer.
He absolutely should have been.
See, I don't know if I believe that, because I don't know if Brock Osweiler's beaten the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, which they did that year. There was a couple of throws. It was the first half, and then the defense really did their work on Brady and the Patriots, but there's a couple of throws that Peyton Manning made in that AFC Championship game that I just don't think that Osweiler makes. I think he, you know what's in his pants when he's got to face Bill Belichick? And I think Belichick just has his head on a swivel in that AFC title.
Not game. In Denver, he doesn't. Not in Denver.
I don't know.
Not in Brock's house.
Osweiler's beaten Bill Belichick in the AFC title game?
But again, Peyton Manning wasn't Peyton Manning.
I know,
checkmate.
But it's still
it
Peyton
that
Manning.
Defense.
But he's not scared in that moment. He's not scared.
I don't think Brock would have been either. He would have had all the confidence in the world. Was Brock scared when he tied the Bears last year in that defense?
Okay, here's the other part, is that Brock Osweiler actually holds a very important space in NFL history beyond the 2015 Broncos. Without Brock Osweiler being that bad, he signed a huge contract in Houston. He is so ungodly bad. They then dump him to the Browns just so that the Browns pick up the rest of his contract to free up that money. Remember, they had to send a second-round pick to the Browns and just make the Browns take the contract. Without that happening, without Brock being so bad they had to just have somebody else eat the money, the Texans don't draft Deshaun Watson. The Texans don't have a need in that draft to go grab Deshaun Watson to number 12. Think about it. If Brock is just somewhat serviceable with all of that money, he's a Houston Texans quarterback and Deshaun goes somewhere else. In this way, Brock Osweiler is the best thing that could have happened to the Houston Texans. He was so awful, they had to make somebody else take the rest of his contract, trade away a two just to do it, and it left them open to say, we got to get our quarterback now, and we're going with Deshaun Watson. I want my baby Brock picks. And now, don't you want ribs?
I'm starving for ribs. Coca-Cola ribs, maybe?
I want my baby Brock picks.
Chili's does that dry rub.
Ribs for everybody today. When we come back here on the show, ribs or rub?
Itchy nipple chub rub.
I've got a text message from one Huge Freeze. And Huge is unhappy that Mraz predicted a sub-500 season for his Minnesota Vikings. Remember we did this on the show last week? We did win-win-loss-loss. Okay. Well, Huge has offered up the best bet yet on the DA show.
Okay.
This is the best bet yet.
Does he get back on the show in either way?
Well, I'm just going to pitch this as a bet, and if we all think it's a good bet, then we can decide whether or not maybe Huge can earn his way back on. Maybe not. And maybe you guys think the bet is not worth it. And maybe you say there's no way, lifetime ban doesn't matter. But I want to at least pose this because it came across my phone, and I thought this text was a game changer. A true game, kind of like Deshaun Watson. It was the Deshaun Watson of text messages. Game changer. I'll read that coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio. I know, bogus, but I got to tease it. We also have your best audio of the day, including one piggy oinky Yankee fan making everybody in a section hate him. We've got the audio coming up next as well. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This year like last year, the best is right here on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Coming up next hour on the show, Rich Gannon, NFL on CBS analyst. We'll talk to Rich about the NFL. Also, A.J. Hinch decides that instead of using a bullpen game, his bullpen to start and finish this game number four after the rainout, he's going to use Zach Greinke. So tonight, Greinke in the Bronx. Is that a strategic misfire by Hinch? That's all coming up next hour on the show. Remember, you can watch the show as well. Right now, Andrew Kaplan, the wizard of watchda.com, pulling levers, pressing buttons, and making sure that our simulcast looks like a real-life TV show. It's a digital TV show, and it's bootyful. It's got the graphics. It's got the best of. Did you know if you watch at watchda.com, the best of runs during commercial breaks? How cool is that? You can relive the craziest, wackiest, funniest, most ridiculous moments in DA show history by watching at watchda.com. And that's available for free on any device. Now, that's a good deal.
Now, wait a minute.
Uh-huh. Before we get to sound check, Doug Marrone taking a shot perhaps at Tom Coughlin. Yankee fan that's super annoying. Bama, Tennessee. I just want to bring up this text, okay? And look, I'm going to be perfectly honest here. I like Huge Freeze more than the guys on the other side of the glass. I really like Mraz, despite his idiocy. I love Pete the Body Bellotti. I love him. But you guys don't like Huge Freeze, and for that, we differ.
No, well, it's not that we don't like Hugh Freeze.
Yes, you do.
No, I think
you're exasperated by him. You're tired of him. You find him annoying.
I think we like Hugh Freeze the person. We don't like the idea of Hugh Freeze.
The idea. What's the idea? It's like
just
communism?
Everything that comes with him. The pomp and circumstances. Like, if you sit down next to him and just have a beer, a Hugh Freeze is fine. But the theatrics that come with a Hugh Freeze and the conversation, anything more than 15 minutes, will drive you into the ground.
I just don't like him.
Well, got right to the point.
So, Hugh, since he's not on the show anymore, he and I text every so often. He usually texts me more than I text him.
Shocker.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But I need every so often a dose of Hugh. He's very smart, okay? He has very sharp sports opinions, and he's charming, let's face it. He's got a clever wit about him. So he heard the segment. He listens to the show religiously. This is how, what a great guy he is. Despite having a lifetime ban, he's still listening. I mean, it's like Pete Rose watching every game of the Red season every single year. Got to give him credit. He heard the segment where we were making fun of Kirk Cousins and called him Ned Flanders last week. And we went down the list of the rest of the Viking schedule. We did win, win, loss, loss, okay? And Mraz came to 7-9 with Kirk Cousins of the Vikings, basically clowning the idea that Vikings fans suddenly believe in Kirk Cousins going into that Eagles game. Now, they won that Eagles game, but last week Mraz was completely clowning Vikings fans for believing in Ned Flanders.
Purple drapes.
So Robbie texts me, asked me how my weekend was at Clemson, which is why he's a good friend. Wanted to know how it was going.
That's not why he texted.
Yes, it was.
That's his in.
He doesn't care about that.
He doesn't care. That's a Schwartz move.
He texts, and I quote, "The win-loss game with your brain-dead bleeping producer, save that audio. 7-9, question mark. Bwa-ha-ha-ha-ha. Ha, 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 ha." There was a bwaha.
You also called me a brain-dead producer. At least I could get a full-time job here.
Brain-dead bleeping producer. He said, "If they go 8-8 or worse, I will fly to Minnesota in the dead of winter and put on a purple Speedo in front of the Viking Stadium holding a Ned Flanders poster." Now, guys, that is far more interesting than the Saturday 4 o'clock wild card game. Let's face it.
I mean, I still...
Where would you rather be on wild card weekend than watching Robbie in nothing but a Speedo in the middle of the Minneapolis winter holding a Ned Flanders poster?
Everywhere.
Come on!
I prefer Lions 49ers, but that's
Come
just
on.
Me.
No! No! I'm telling you.
But why does anybody need to see that?
Why?
Have you seen the size of him?
I have. Why did we need to see you in a pink Speedo in the middle of Central Park?
We didn't. And I thought the Giants would win and we wouldn't have to do that, but we did. Now, look. But here's the bet. What's the bet?
The bet is if they go 8-8 or 7-9, he's going to have to do that.
Okay. And if they don't?
Well.
Then what?
Well. Maybe he earns his way back on the show.
Stop it.
What?
You two behind my back.
No, I'm not saying nothing. I didn't even agree to this.
Look, I'm all for what's good for the show is good for everybody. If we get a little... First of all, how are we getting a shot at this? Him taking the pictures? We're not flying Kaplan out there to stream it.
We'll get our Minnesota affiliate to go out there and live stream it for Facebook Live.
Oh, will we?
Yeah, and we will have live footage.
They'll love that.
Also, Robbie's got family up there.
You know, he says he has family up there, and then when we were up there, he never saw any family. He was hanging around us the whole time.
I'm just throwing it out there. I don't want an answer right now. I don't want an answer. I want us to think about it. He is saying if the Vikings go 8-8 or worse, 8-8, they could easily go 8-8. He will fly to Minnesota on his own dime, wear nothing but a purple Speedo in front of their stadium, U.S. Bank Stadium, and hold a Ned Flanders poster. How is that not good for the show?
Well, I'll say this, but here's the thing. He's going to have to do that because they are going 8-8 or worse.
Even better. Even better. Imagine him with nothing but those horns on.
Good. You know what? Get him out there. Hope he gets hypothermia and has to call out sick in London or wherever he's working now.
If he did this, would you at least do one episode of Part of the Indigestion? Just one.
Why am I getting punished here?
You're the only one that doesn't want him on the show.
No, okay. His ban remains post-pardon the indigestion, but if Kirk Cousins gets the Vikings to 9 wins or more, now, you know what? Scratch that. Kirk Cousins makes the playoffs this year.
Uh-huh.
Robbie and I will do Pardon the Indigestion on the air.
Oh. Huh.
Oakley-dokley-doo. Make the playoffs, though.
Okay. So here's the bet. Vikings make the playoffs, then Pardon the Indigestion happens.
Ban goes into effect again post-Pardon the Indigestion, though.
3-episode arc or 5-episode arc?
You're pushing your luck,
little
man.
All right, 3 episodes.
Pilot.
Cleared for pilot. 3 episodes if the Vikings make the playoffs. Pardon the Indigestion, but then he's banned again after that.
Correct. Banned still stands.
But if they go 500 or worse, he has to fly out.
On his dime.
On his dime. Wear nothing but a purple Speedo in front of that stadium and hold a Ned Flanders poster.
Correct.
And he has to put a Ned Flanders mask on.
No. We need his face.
All right.
His face has to be attached to
this.
He has to take pictures, too, with fans.
Well,
who wants to get close to him? That's 400 pounds of flub.
If they go 8-8, there won't be any fans. All right.
The only fans there will be the Chick-fil-A owners because they know the stock's up.
He's got the red card. Okay, that's on the table. We're not agreeing to it yet, but it's right now. It's been offered to Congress, the Jedi Council here on the DA show. Let's bring to you your audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Oh, good. This one should be interesting. Tennessee and Alabama coming up this weekend. Saturday night from Alabama, Tuscaloosa, and Bama's a mere 34.5-point favorite over Tennessee. Hey, Jeremy Pruitt, how can you win this game?
You know, I was thinking about, you know, there's a high school team over in Arkansas. You know, they always onside kick, okay? They never punt, you know, because I don't know. I've never seen them play. I always hear people talk about it, you know. In fact, they played one of the high school teams here in our state this year. Somebody was talking about it. So, you know, we've really kind of considered that as our game plan. Just don't give them the ball, you know, if we can do that. So, you know, I don't know.
Okay, so I know Pruitt's making a joke there, but I'd actually like to see that. I mean, they're 5-touchdown underdogs. They're going to get smashed on the road in Tuscaloosa. And why doesn't one coach try this? Go for every fourth down, every single one. I don't know about onside kick. I mean, does anybody ever get onside kick anymore? But never punting, that's at least on the table, isn't it? I mean, Tennessee is going to get absolutely ratcheted this Saturday. So can we get a college coach that never punts, onside kicks every time? I like that idea. Here is Doug Marrone, Jaguars head coach, who's had to answer a lot of questions about Jalen Ramsey's absence and is essentially calling out Tom Coughlin.
I'm sure 5 years from now, 10 years from now, someone will be able to write about it. It's not my job to do that. And again, I know you guys are probably frustrated, but you're talking to a guy that has, I would say, a big job, you know, to get the players ready, that we're discussing something that has nothing to do with where my mind is right now, honestly, you know, and I respect the hell out of you guys. You know that. I just wish I can give you the insight and the answers that question needs to be answered. I don't have that. So, and I wish we can get someone up here that can answer it for. I do. But, you know what I'm saying, Gene? It's me. You know what I'm saying? So I really, you don't know. You know, you don't know until down the road.
So clearly he's saying, I wish Coughlin would have this conversation with you guys because I don't know, and this is all about Coughlin and Ramsey. And Coughlin's letting Marrone be the shield, so he takes all the bullets. The one thing I have to say that Marrone comes off as disingenuous there is when he says, you guys know, I really respect what you do. You guys know, I got a lot of respect for you. I mean, come on. I've interviewed Doug Marrone before in person, face-to-face, and the guy wanted to be anywhere but sitting in front of me. Anywhere. I got a lot of respect for you guys. That is the clear sign that that coach knows it's a waste of time, but is kind of like placating the media, making them feel good. But I agree with this. Coughlin should have to answer about this. They just traded arguably their best player for two firsts after a protracted battle with the organization. Coughlin should have to talk. Coughlin should have to now answer questions about what happened, why they decided now to trade him, if they feel like they got a good enough return, were they hesitant on trading him, what changed, how did it happen, etc. All right, when we come back, game four tonight, ALCS. Did AJ Hinch make a strategic mistake? And a Yankee fan that is making everybody in a section actually hate their lives. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.